Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Welcome, welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. We see that Andrew is already on line two, and I promise you, Andrew, we will get straight to you in 5 minutes or less.
5 minutes or less.
5 minutes or less. But first, I just wanted to make an announcement, introduce us for people who don't know who we are, and then we will dive in. And I'm also really excited because this week we have a guest. So the big news is Crazy Sexy Midlife Love Talk Radio is going weekly. We're going to do it every week now, starting tonight. I was kind of dabbling, seeing how it would go, sort of like...
You're a dabbler. Well, I've learned that about you.
Well, I mean, you don't wait until you're 47 to get married for the first time if you don't have a little bit of commitment issues, right?
Yeah, no, well, not right for me, but for you, yes. I have learned that you take your time, and that's okay. That's okay. We're all here to do our thing.
I think we were married 13 times before I finally warmed up to getting married legally.
That's probably about right. Like, this needed to happen in very small stages, little
baby steps.
Tiny baby steps each along the way. But here's the thing. We were in love, and it just needed to take whatever course it does. Like, I don't know of a single person on the planet who doesn't have their own thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, they had their path to the altar, their path to the relationship, to the path to the long-term love was stuff that needed to evolve in the ways that it did.
I knew I wanted to be married. I knew, I think a year in, that Devin was the one. I knew it. And I come from 4 generations in my family on both sides of everybody's first marriage sucked, like really, really bad first marriages, really great second marriages. And I made a decision in the second grade when I was 7 years old that I wanted to skip the first marriage and go straight to the second husband. And so even when Devin asked, and I thought it would take Devin 4 or 5 years. And then when he proposed at 18 months, then I freaked because it was ahead of my schedule. Devin was very, very kind and made it safe. And so we just sort of tried it for a year, getting married over and over and over again so that I could ease into the idea.
Right. It was a slow... A slow motion process. So anyway.
So we have my favorite astrologer coming up. First, we're going to dive in and find out who Andrew is. And then we will come back and I will introduce you to the only astrologer on earth who got it right regarding my love life. So Andrew, you're live. Welcome.
That's me, Morgana.
Hello.
It's Andrew. It's me from Toronto. You know me.
I was
calling because I wanted to hear the astrologer. So put the astrologer back on and then get back to me.
Okay, great.
Did you have a question for the astrologer while we still have you here, Andrew?
Well, I just, I've been single. Like, I'm almost probably like you, Morgana. I haven't really dated much, and I just... Well, and because next week's my special day, I just wanted to see if there was anything that she might have or you know, something of interest or something. So I don't know. I just, you know, I wanted to come and support you guys as well. So I love you both. So
thank you so much. And yes, without question, I do not know Carol Allen as well as my lovely wife, but I do know that Carol Allen is a sharp cookie and fun and lively and will without question have some pearls of wisdom in terms of your astrological love life and making that thing happen.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. So about my friend Carol, before we get to her, every astrologer that I had a reading with and throw in some numerologists just to make it more depressing would look at whatever chart was in front of them and go, wow, you're going to have a really hard time. I don't know if you're ever going to get married. You're going to have a really unusual partnership and just like laying it on everything that was wrong and going against me. And I have been searching for my prince since my first Disney movie, Cinderella, 3 years old. I've been on the hunt. So to have all the stars and numbers lined up against me was really depressing. And then one night I was at a business networking dinner next to this cute blonde lady who introduced herself as a Vedic astrologer, and she'll explain how Vedic is different from Western astrology. And I told her my tale of woe, how my celebrity guru teacher yoga, my celebrity yoga teacher had sent me to his Vedic astrologer who condemned me to a life of difficult romance and probably no marriage because I have my moon in Scorpio and Rahu in the seventh house and on and on and on.
Well, I'm very offended at Rahu for doing this, having done this to you. But I guess we'll find out who Rahu is.
Yeah. And then, and Carol, and you'll hear her voice in a second, was like, really? Moon in Scorpio? Well, that's great. Let me tell you why. And I was in love. And I hired her, and it was like listening to her reading months later, because in the moment, I think I missed a lot of it, but just during the reading, then listening to it later, I had never felt so known. And she didn't know me. She was just looking at a bunch of numbers in a chart. And everything she said was so right on. And she gave me tools to weed through promising candidates and separate the Mr. Right Nows from Devin, who was the first person based on Carol's predictions, was the first person who had green lights. Yeah, this is Mr. Right. Proceed. So, without much further ado, because I forgot to go to her website and look up her bio, we're just going to bring Carol on the line, one of my very favorite people who bullied me into having a bridal shower after only 13 weddings. Carol, welcome.
Oh my gosh, I didn't just bully you into having one, I threw it for you.
Yes, you did.
At the Biltmore, baby, and I picked up the tab. Not that I want credit or anything. Hi!
Talk Carol. About a great
Hi.
Friend.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. I'm so happy to join you guys because, you know, I'm in crazy, sexy midlife, too. So move over.
Yes, you are. And you have a crazy, sexy love story with your guy. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh my God, I would be happy to, because, you know, most of us who do any kind of work where we help other people, we were always our own first customer, right? So
yep.
I too crawled to astrologers and readers because my own love life was such a disaster. And I'd had my own heart put through the meat chipper so many times. And I was told by a Vedic astrologer who I met at a party that that I shouldn't even bother having any relationships in my 20s because I was in this like completely love blocked phase, and no matter what I did, it wouldn't go well. But I was already with this incredible guy, and I said, well, couldn't it be him? And he said, no, it's much too soon. It couldn't possibly be him. So me and the incredible guy had beautiful compatibility, though. And I was so blown away by Vedic astrology. I started studying it because it described, just like you said, my whole life, like my childhood, my career, my dreams, my family. Like, it just nailed everything I'd experienced so far. So I had all these teachers, and one of them said to me, wow, you and your boyfriend have the best compatibility I have ever seen in 29 years. There is this incredible technique in Vedic astrology, which is the system of India that I practice, that's been used for forever to arrange marriages. And it's very, very complicated. It's got 15 steps. So he was using that technique, and I thought that that meant we were golden, right? That we were guaranteed, and that even though I was in this love blocking time, we were going to beat the planets and we were going to make it work. Well, of course, we totally didn't, and we completely broke up. And we had 4 long, painful years apart, and I tried to get over him, and I tried to like someone else. And it was so funny because then I was an astrologer and I'd already studied myself, and every date I would have, I would go home and I would run, you know, his birthday was mine, and it was always a big wah, wah. Like, it was always bad news, just like what you felt, Morgana, just like what you went through. And then, but every teacher I had, including that first astrologer, they all said when I was 30, it would magically come together, and I would go into this glorious season of love, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. And literally, I went to a Christmas party right before this period with 35 Vedic astrologers, and we all gave each other readings, and the entire room was like, your prince is coming, your true love is coming. It was like every indicator that could lined up. So I was picturing somebody else. Like, it must be somebody new, right? Well, it turned out it was the guy from years before who came back and said everything out of the movie, right? So, and it's been 23 years since in September is our 23rd wedding anniversary, which is crazy. Oh, wow. It's amazing. So it's not enough to be compatible. You also have to be in the right timing. And so what I was so upset about in your case, Morgana, when you first came to me, is I saw no reason you couldn't marry. What I saw is what I see about 50% of the time when people come to me, which is that you were just what's called a late bloomer in love. And late bloomers in love have a really crap time when they're young.
Yep.
And they get a lot of frogs, and they get a lot of rejection, and they start to believe that they're doomed to die alone. And so what I love about you and Moon and Scorpio people is you're persistent, and you keep trusting, and you keep suiting up and showing up, and you keep working on yourself. And lo and behold, you got your man.
Yeah.
So, whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Devin had a reading with a different Vedic astrologer, and Vedic makes more sense to me, I think, just because the first reading I ever had that felt like me, sounded like me, and every area of my life came from you. But not all, in my very humble opinion, not all Vedic astrologers are alike. You know, the one before you condemned me to spinsterhood, and then Devin had a reading with a very talented person.
So, you know, that's, of course, I have no idea. And it probably wasn't Vedic, because I think when you talk to a Vedic person, the Vedic person has some very specific guidelines. And so this person was a sidereal astrologer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right, I already heard the disdain in Carol's voice.
No, not at all. In fact,
I'm just teasing.
So what did Anna Kriya say about
that? Yeah, this is just a dear friend of mine. For years, she would say to me, because I would come to her with my tales of woe, my well-intentioned love. Uh-huh. And she, you know, it would be a disaster.
She was Devin's Carol.
Right. She was my Carol. And so I would.
Great.
And at some point she'd say, well, you know, if you're seeing somebody, get the information and then I'll let you know and I'll explain it to you.
We totally swapped birth information on the first date, didn't we?
Oh,
I probably did. So I brought over this woman. And the thing was, I would show up with all of these, you know, with these women's birth information, certain that this one is certainly the right one.
Yeah, uh-huh. But what about ours? The interesting one.
The interesting one? Well, I if I remember correctly, I brought, and this was after there was a number of, you know, fail, like Anna Cree was big on saying, well, you know, if you want to date her, you know, and then kind of sort of like with three dots, you know, floating in the air. And so when I brought her Morgana, she said, well, you know, you could sleep with her. That's what she,
no.
So I thought, okay, that would be, she, because you could sleep with her. And that was about the extent. She goes, I don't know. I don't, you know, and here we are. And it's fine.
And you're still sleeping with her because you're crazy sexy.
That's right, because that's what we're all down for.
Oh, my God. That is such a fantastic story. Well, I have your charts right here. Hello.
Really?
Ding, ding, ding.
Wow. That and might be good for everything.
And shout out to Andrew and now Chastity. I see that you're on the line, so we will be going live to you first. But the narcissist in me needs to hear what Carol says about our chart.
Oh my God, so funny. Well, and I just want to say I'm not a super big fan of giving readings on the radio, just because it's people on radio shows. People ask me like these huge life and death questions, and when I give readings, I study, I prepare, I weigh and evaluate.
Right.
You know, so if the callers want readings, I'll just be, you know, we'll have to see how it goes because I get really nervous about that. But I'm happy to answer like astrological questions or relationship questions. But okay, so first of all, we have what are called planetary periods. These are so cool. These are unique to Vedic astrology. And these help to explain why we go through what we go through when we go through it. And so you, Morgana, we're in a Venus period, which is the planet of love and marriage, for, 20 years. That started in 1997. It's just your chart says you have to be in your late 30s or older to find somebody. And weren't you like 42 when you met?
45.
Oh, 45. Wow.
We're like weeks away from our 8-year anniversary of our first date.
Right. In Logan's Run world, we would have been dead.
Oh my God.
So I'm really dating myself by bringing up that obscure
moon and Scorpio people in the Logan's Run world.
Yeah, she would have been Soylent Green, right?
Right. No, absolutely. I think you got to 30, you get a blinking light on your palm, and then you go, excitedly into the heavens where they would explode you.
Oh my God. Oh boy. Well, anyway, Venus is the planet of love and marriage, and it's really a beautiful period to find someone. It's a 20-year period. So then it's broken into sub-periods of 1 to 3 years. And so 8 years ago, you were in a sub-period of Saturn, and Saturn is the planet of commitment. And a Venus-Saturn period is very much an all-or-nothing time. This is either when people get divorced or get married. It's like a very intense time around relationships. And then in 2017, you went into a 6-year planetary period of the sun. And the sun is in your chart is in a constellation, a Vedic constellation called Purvashada, which is ruled by Venus. So again, it's like pulling up the love and romance and sexy planet. And it's activating and triggering, again, Venus energy. So it's as though you're still in a Venus period. So this is why, you know, you of all people that I know, quarantining and pandemicing, you guys are having like a little too much fun, like your posts and your conversations. You're like, oh my God, I'm so happy just like cooking and being with Devin and following Devin around.
Yeah.
She's in a Venus coma, Devin, you lucky dog, you.
I'm a lucky dog, without question.
It's really, really, really sweet. And then, Devin, your chart has It has the ruler of the House of Partnership in the House of Partnership with the ruler of the House of Self. So you always longed for partnership. You were probably always working on something. and you would really want something serious, but you also have a late bloomer in love chart. Late bloomers in love usually have some kind of Saturn something going on with Venus or the House of Partnership or the ruler of the House of Partnership. So Saturn is sitting here aspecting your House of Partnership, aspecting the planet of marriage, aspecting the ruler of your House of Partnership. And in Morgana's chart, it's doing similar stuff. And that suppresses and restricts things until the second half of life. And then if we look at the two of you together, if we do this marriage, this compatibility chart that's been used forever to arrange marriages, it's a 15-step technique. And it's literally been used for centuries, maybe even millennia. They don't even know. And you know, to this day, they arrange 90% of their marriages in India. Like, can you imagine? You marry somebody who's met. Like,
hey, look, if it works for them as well, it's worked for me. I think it's genius.
Right. Ironically, I know a couple that are from the Middle East, and they came from an arranged marriage, but they've been married now for probably about 45 years and have 5 kids and, you know, 15 grandbabies, and they're great. Like, they're clearly in love. So who knows? You know, they're maybe something that they've deciphered.
It's statistically very successful, but they also have a different perspective on marriage. You know, they say in the East, marriages start cold and grow hot, and in the West, they start hot and grow cold. So
yeah.
That's one difference. But anyway, of the 15 steps, you get a number that reflects your inherent wavelength. Like, it shows how much you agree, how much alignment you have, how much affinity, like how much you're on the same page. And you guys get a really high wavelength score. And then you get the highest possible point for communication. So being able to, like, think alike or hear each other when you need to talk about something. And Devin, you're really able to comfort her, which is huge, right, Morgana? Like, girls need that.
Yeah.
We need a man who will hear us and say, oh, baby, it's all good. I'm here for you, right? And a lot of guys, they just shut down and they get too freaked out by our emotion. So any men listening, all you have to do is say, oh, baby, I'm here for you. I understand why you feel that way. That is it.
Right.
Those are the
patterns. That is one of the secrets that I end up telling most of my guy friends, which, like, guys want to fix it. And between guys, that makes sense. How do I fix my carburetor? Oh, well, you just do these 5 things and then we're done. Problem solved. And for the most part, it's like, can I listen and what can I do to help you?
Right. Do you want me to listen or do you want boy brain?
Yeah, no, I do point out boy brain because the boy brain just wants to say, well, here's the list. Just do the list and we're cured, right? Can we move on now? But if she's not ready to hear that,
I have a choice.
Right. Then it'll be like, then I'll just be here. I'll be here. What can I do?
Well, and that, you know, that's a lot better than you shouldn't feel that way. And oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed by your feelings and I'm going to go in my man cave now. You know what I mean? So you're a genius, Devin. Even though we don't always want to be fixed and we don't always want logic. Yeah, like I was telling my husband something yesterday, and I was being, like, really sensitive and emotional, which mostly I am not. I'm a pretty happy, buoyant, can-do kind of girl. But I've been, like, really emotional this week for a lot of boring reasons that I'll spare you. And he was coming back at me with all this logic, and I had to look at him and remind him. I said, you know none of this is logical, right? I'm fully aware I'm being completely illogical right now. And he was like, oh, yeah, right.
Did he run away at that point? Did he say, I'm sorry, and run away? Because that's really the answer at that moment.
You know, he was doing that earlier in the week, and so we had the conversation where I was like, hey, I could really use some comforting. And then he was like, oh, yeah, right. And you know, the good news for any men listening is they think it's going to take so much, right? They think we're going to be like this ocean of needs that's going to sap their very soul. And honestly, one kind word, one like patting us on the hand, one validation of our feelings, and we feel 5 million times better if we love you. We just
right, no, without question. It's 2 seconds worth of hand-holding most of the time. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with that. It's an easy, and I say this with like love, because we're all very complicated people, but the truth of the matter is, it's knowing what it is that somebody wants to give.
So,
yeah.
Let's...
Or somebody, what somebody wants to receive. That's the thing. Sorry, I was speaking too quickly because my wife was waving
hands and pointing and drawing charts. So let's come back to this and see if Andrew is still on the line, and then Chastity.
But how about this? I'm going to say this as a preface while Andrew is booting up.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say this because I've studied a little bit of astrology. I am not an astrologer, but I understand that it takes time. Like, even if you're dealing with a tropical chart, you're dealing with all of these planets and how they're interconnected and in what position they're connected and at what time they were connected. So it's not like, matter of fact, I'm going to throw this at Carol only because I said that I would, even though I've already prefaced this question to one of our listeners who wrote in. The question was, will I find my man in 2020? And so... There might not be, right, like that's an impossible question to answer, but there might be some sort of a logical thing. So I'm sharing that.
That's not impossible to answer, but it's kind of brutal over a radio show. You know what I mean? Like in a two-second soundbite, like, no, you're screwed. You know what I mean? Like,
right. No, there's guys who are running around, so she's got a shot.
Yeah. Those aren't my favorite readings to, like, just be, like, super... to dash somebody's dream publicly in 2 seconds, but if you really want me to, and you know, I might actually see this season a season of love, and that it's like a beautiful time, and I might see the way. I mean, sometimes I get to be the bearer of really good news.
I actually found it really, really comforting when you said, Morgana, you've got Saturn and Mars and all these heavy planets, like, sitting on you. It's not your fault, and it's going to change on September 13, 2000 and whatever. It's actually the kindest thing anybody could say to me.
Right. Well, that is true. I mean, when I was told I shouldn't even bother having a serious relationship in my 20s, but as I got, 24, 25, 26, 20, as I got more and more, like, bloodied and broken from trying to beat the planet, right? The more exhausted I became, the more comfort I took in that prediction, and the more I was able to just enjoy the moment and just have fun and not put all that pressure on myself and not feel like it was going to last forever. And I have found that a lot, that clients initially won't like the reading, but they'll tell me 3 years later how much it ended up being helpful, because it made them feel less like it was their fault, and it made them understand the larger tapestry of their life. Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
so Andrew, is Andrew still on the line?
I am here.
Hello, Andrew. Do you have a question for Carol?
Hi, Andrew.
Okay. Hi, Carol. It's, you thank Morgana, because I went onto your website, both of them, actually, because I love this stuff. And, so I know it's not going to be an online reading, so I'll just try and be generic. I think I'm, like Morgana, a late bloomer chart, because everything starts later in life for me. I was even born late. Couple questions. One, when one gets a Vedic astrology report, is it better, or reading, is it better to do the whole life thing than just one aspect, so you get an overall view of what it is that can be used, like, for instance, love, and so you get all aspects?
That's a very good question, and honestly, it really depends. Some people really want the whole thing. Some people have had a lot of readings, or they know themselves really well, and they just need support in one area. So there really isn't a one-size-fits-all answer to that. But I will say, getting a reading about kind of the general brushstrokes of your whole life can help you believe more when there is specific information about one area. Because you'll see, like that first reading I had, when he said, oh, your mother was like this and your childhood was like this and these were the best years of your childhood, and you probably loved this part of school, and this is probably your favorite kind of food. Like, when he was so accurate about so many things, then when he gave me predictions about the future, it made me believe it more, right? Because he'd already proven to me, I didn't need him to tell me my favorite food. I already knew my favorite food, right? I already knew a lot of the stuff he was telling me, but it made me trust the rest of it. And that certainly can happen. But it just depends. It depends on the person. It depends on the situation. Yeah.
So it's a little bit like science. It's a science, correct?
Yeah.
Yes?
Definitely.
Or is it more of a science combination with art? Or is it just like the planet's here and that's that and that's what we know?
Well, you know, there is a magic to it, I will say. I mean, the technique in Vedic astrology, it really is like reading a book. It really is, if you go to 10 of us, we should all pretty much tell you the same stuff. And if we don't, it's because somebody didn't pay as much attention in school. The Vedas talk about how there is negotiable karma. There are things that are pretty much fixed, like how tall you are, right? It's sort of like DNA. I use the analogy of DNA all the time. There's how tall you are, what ethnicity you are, what gender you were born at physically. And by the way, I'm totally cool with the whole gender thing. I have a transgender nephew who's my favorite person in the world. So I don't mean to offend anyone. But there are certain things, you know, that are pretty much like baked into the cake. And then there are things that you have more free will over, that there's a spectrum you're working within, and you can lean more into the higher end of the spectrum or the low. And so when it comes to the fixed stuff, that stuff is pretty darn fixed. Like me being in a blocked time, Morgana being in a blocked time, a lot of our younger years, we couldn't have changed that. We could not have married earlier. And we tried. Right, Morgana? We
tried. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I racked up a lot of broken engagements.
Yeah. And I was even with the person that I am now married to, and I couldn't get it to work, right? And so so it's like that. It's like that.
I love that. That sounds brilliant. And do we have a moment for...
We have Chastity on line 5.
Hi,
hey. Chastity. Hey, Chastity, how
so
are
nice
you?
To... I'm great. Hi, Morgana. It's been a minute.
Hi,
so,
welcome.
Am I the... Thank you. So my question is, so first of all, I'm a psychic, so I can take it. You can tell me whatever you want. I'm ready. So I've had my chart read several times, and it's usually very similar to what Morgana has said, is that you're never going to be married.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's never happening for you. Like, you should be a monk. Just, like, go live in a convent kind of a
thing. That sounds like terrible advice.
I know. So I'm wondering if there is like a quick pop-up you can look at and just
sure.
Any kind of initial thing that pops out at you.
So what's your birthday?
About love.
What's your
March
birthday?
12th, 1976, 4:44 p.m. in San Antonio, Texas.
44. Well, there's your problem. I'm kidding. My husband's from Texas. All my favorite people are Texans. You, swaggery Texans, you. Okay, so March 12th, 1976, 4:44 p.m. in San Antonio, Texas. Okay. So, well, here's what I can tell you is your nature is more introverted and sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and you need a lot of downtime, and you need a lot of privacy.
Yeah.
And so out in the world, you may not send signals to invite people to approach. You may keep your energy kind of contained. And you maybe have to mm-hmm. as a psychic. You know, it's very powerful to be a psychic, and you have to really put, you know, energetic protection around you, or you're, like, picking up everything all the time. So
yeah.
You definitely have a late bloomer chart. You have the moon and Saturn
in the same sign. The moon is the emotions and our attachments, and Saturn is the planet of delays. Now, this also tells me, and forgive me for getting a little Freudian on you, that you didn't feel very supported as a child and that your parents weren't as nurturing or as available as you would have liked. Did you feel like you had to measure up to some huge standard that was impossible, or you were always in trouble? Or
well, I grew up in domestic violence. So,
that
was a big thing for me. And there's huge grudges in my family where, you know, like most of my family is deceased, and the ones that are left, nobody speaks.
Oh, wow. So resentment is like where it's at in your family. Resentment is the drug of choice.
Sorry. I'm skipping through the daisies because I'm free of all of them, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. Well, so here's the thing. Just like Morgana, your house of partnership is strong. And your chart says you're very attractive. People really like you. You have this very playful, charming, fun, diplomatic side. And, you know, you need a lot of time alone, but when you're out and about, you can, like, light up a room, right? You can brag, right?
Thank you.
Darn it. People like you. I mean, you have Venus, the planet of beauty and charm and grace and diplomacy, taking center stage in your chart, right exactly on the powerful degree of your house of partnership. And so the thing I would say, though, is just like Morgana, you are a late bloomer, and I do want you making more of an effort to like smile and talk to people out in the world. I'm a big fan. You know how mom and dad said, don't talk to strangers. I want you talking to strangers. I want you talking to everyone.
Yeah.
Now we can't really do that right now in a comfortable way. Because the world is, you know, hiding out and everybody's social distancing. But you know, this is the kind of chart where just like with Morgana, the second half of life is the best. You go into a time, and forgive me because it's not quite yet, you go into a time next spring for a year where the planet of ease and grace and blessings sits in your house of partnership, and it sits on Venus, the planet of love. And that can be a time, I call that like, you know, one of the indicators of a season of love. Sensitive people like you, you tend to follow your feelings, and if you like someone, you'll make that the most important thing ahead of what they're doing or showing you, right? And so I always want women like you to sort of slow down and get to know someone over time and have like a dowager aunt go with you on dates and like be a chaperone. But I
COVID
really like,
is very good for slowing things down. I mean, you need to be exclusive before you take off your masks.
That is true. But I really like next spring for a year. And then you go into, in September of 2021, September of next year, you go into a whole new planetary period for 6 years. You go into a time that's like you come into your own and you blossom and bloom. And honestly, it's you go into a sun period and the sun is in your house of partnership. I think that's going to change the game. I really do. And it's your ruling planet and it's a six-year period. So things turn around next year, but not yet. Not yet.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was feeling. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Poor Andrew now is like, well, that wasn't fair. Get him back on the line. thank you, Chastity. You know, in Vedic astrology, there's these combinations called chastity yogas. How funny is that? They have to do with how healthy a woman is and how much she can receive good love. And it has to do with certain things that you look to. And you have some really good chastity yoga. So I had to laugh.
Oh, that's great. That's nice. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, Chastity.
Thank you, Chastity.
Thank you, guys.
By the way, so for Carol Allen, if somebody wanted to know more, what's the website that
we actually have a link that will be on the website. Carol, you have a gift, right?
Well, I do, and I feel bad because it's for girls, but I have an ebook that's really fun and that helps kind of inspire women that are maybe losing confidence or maybe getting discouraged, just like you were, Morgana, and just like I was. And it's got a goofy name, so forgive me. It's called Becoming the Woman Your Dream Man Wants. So I need to retitle that, because it's not about changing yourself to please men, but it's all about, you know, how to have more fun with dating, how to feel more confident, how to trust the process, and how to know there really is this larger story unfolding that isn't all up to you and isn't all your fault, right? There's a larger story. And I have a really fun newsletter that I've killed myself over that comes out every few days. And if you sign up on the link that Morgana has, you can get the newsletter, and the newsletter shares, you know, all my favorite, like, relationship advice, astrology advice, what's going on in the stars. And then it also helps you discover, you know, reports where you can get this compatibility technique if you're wondering about you and someone else, or a capacity report that shows your chastity yogas. Hey, hey, like how healthy you are, and how much you can feed good love or not, and what you can do to develop yourself. So anyway, I have all kinds of fun stuff there.
And I've bought all the reports. And for years, anytime I thought I might want to see a guy a second time, I would just, literally, I have no shame. I'm a life coach. I'm used to asking invasive questions. So I would just get his birth information and run the report. And without fail, every single guy was like on the five most important areas of this, of compatibility, every guy was a bunch of yellows and reds until Devin. And Devin was the only person that I ever dated where it was like four green lights and maybe a yellow, but it was still a good yellow. And that was how I knew that he was Mr. Right instead of Mr. Right Now. And I share that with like all of my girlfriends. You brought up your ebook. And it just made me beg the question, because I know that this, I stole this from a headline from your newsletter. Carol, what do men of each sign want from love?
Oh, golly. Well,
just go down all 12.
Okay, so I wrote that newsletter kind of as a joke, because really the upshot of that newsletter was that, you know, the thing, we all are so alike, men and women, human beings. We're more alike than different, but the ways with which we are different account for about 99.9% of our relationship problems, right? And they feel so completely personal and unique to us. So I make this whole joke. I basically say, Aries, what they want is for you to be like athletic and have a totally hot bod and want to jump out of airplanes with them. And Taurus, they want you to have high thread count sheets and, you know, to wear the best perfume and cook amazing food, because these are things each of the signs loves. But that's really pop astrology. We're all so much more than just our sign. And so what I really go on to say is every man on the planet wants to feel accepted and admired and appreciated. Everything that starts with A. Am I right, Devin? Right?
Accepted. Yeah, no, you're nailing. That's why I'm so quiet. There's nothing for me to connect with.
Yeah, appreciated, acknowledged, and then asked, right? I'm sorry. So the challenge is that so many men feel, because women are always trying to better things and improve things and work on themselves and develop and grow. And, you know, not all women, but a lot of us, like as a group, we tend to be way more into progressing and, you know, tinkering, and we tend to be more hypervigilant. We have much more anxious brains. This is just a fact. This is a brain difference between men and women. This is because of caveman days when we were like all in caves, right? And so we tend to be much more like, I don't want to say critical, but we're much more like, don't do that, and oh my God, and put that there, and And so men often feel like they just dream of finding a woman that's like, you got this, you're awesome, I trust you, go, go man, go baby, go, right? And
And it's hard to find that, right, Devin? It's hard to find that woman. But you
yeah,
have.
Yeah, no, that's true. I have, actually. Are you still there, Carol?
I am.
Okay, because I heard some weird beeping. So I have to ask this question. So as somebody who is without question an imbecile amateur in terms of astrology, what makes the Vedic Vedic? Because I'm sure many of the people listening right now have probably seen the horoscopes on the weekend. This is a weekend to run wild and free, and then somebody else's horoscope is stay in no matter what.
No matter what.
So what is the Vedic? What's the Vedic thing that makes it Vedic? Or what might be the difference?
That's a totally great question. So the word Vedic comes from the Vedas, and the word Veda refers to a set of writings from ancient India that are actually from an area called the Indus Valley, which is where the word Hindu comes from. And the word Veda means truth or knowledge. And these writings are, some scholars think they're 5,000 years old, other scholars think they're 8,000 years old. They cover six branches of knowledge. One of them is the ancient medicine or ancient medical system of India called Ayurveda. And
right.
Then one of them is this. And then the other four are these really complicated things that I don't even understand. But anyway, so it's really funny. People often will say to me, oh, you're an Ayurvedic astrologer, which is sort of like saying, oh, you're an acupuncture astrologer. So I am not an Ayurvedic astrologer. But anyway, there's a lot of similarity between this system and the more commonly known Western system, which to your point is in all of our newspapers and magazines, and it's in all of our horoscopes. You know, when you get your hair done and you go to the hair salon back in the good old days, and you pick up Vogue and you're reading the horoscope, that's the Western system. But the Vedic system originally had its own zodiac. It had 27 signs, and then it uses different calculations. In fact, you may have heard, Devin, this was all over the news and Facebook a few years ago, that we're all looking at the wrong signs, and that really you should be looking at the sign before the sign you've always been told. And this is because the Vedic system thinks that what matters is the relationship of the Earth to the stars. We use something called the sidereal zodiac. So when you went to a sidereal astrologer, they use the same calculations that Vedic astrology uses. They just don't necessarily use Vedic techniques. So that's why she was called a sidereal astrologer. But the Western system thinks that what matters is the relationship of the Earth to the sun. And they put so much emphasis on solar predictive stuff and on sun signs. And it used to be in ancient times, the calculating both ways, whether you looked at the relationship of the Earth to the stars or the relationship of the Earth to the sun, gave you the same chart. But now what happens is slowly over time, the Earth shifts in its relationship to the sky, and it's a very small amount, and over one lifetime, you can't even notice it. But over many lifetimes and over centuries and over millennia, it becomes a really big deal. And we're now to the point where we are 24 days off between the two systems. And so the Vedic system has everybody go back 24 degrees, which is 24 days, which is almost an entire sign. And this is actually where that ancient story of Chicken Little and Henny Penny freaking out that the sky is falling comes from. Isn't that wild? That's an ancient Indian astronomy story about the sky falling.
That's amazing. And honestly, you know, I grew up believing that I was a Gemini based upon the Vogue astrology system.
Devin reads a lot of Vogue.
A lot of Vogue. I have to know. You know. But I remember speaking to my sidereal astrologer friend who was like, well, yeah, no, you have your Gemini on the East Point, but really you're a Taurus. And honestly, in that moment, I was traumatized because I had this idea in the back of my head of what I was like, you know, oh, I'm this Gemini person, whatever that's supposed to mean.
Right.
And then she's like, but don't you just want to lay in a field and be left alone and just relax? And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's me.
And eat and drink and make money, which is all what Tauruses want to do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. No, there was like this just, but it was very much this kind of like, but don't you just want it to be peaceful? And I'm like,
right.
Oh, yeah, no, That's really what I want. I just want quiet time and a gentle breeze across my face and, you know.
And I was thrilled to find out that I was a Sagittarius because I had been reading all those horoscopes saying, Capricorn, let your hair down. And I was like, down from what? So I dropped my old sign, like, you know, like I was carrying old fish.
Hilarious.
What? Well, do you like to travel? I can live with that.
Well, and things like travel, you know, I just want to say, even though signs are fun and they can inform quite a bit, what's far more important and what makes all of us who we are so much more, just like DNA, is the combinations of everything. And so all of our charts have hundreds of combinations that we call yogas. And there are a handful of key, what are called core yogas, that have the biggest say over who we are and how our life is going. And these are formed by the planets, the signs, and the what are called houses or sections of the chart, creating certain formations. And these are far more important. And so these help to explain why not every Taurus does want to lay around in a field. A lot of them are really extroverted and like a lot of stimulation and like to go, go, go and be crazy. And not every Sagittarius has their hair down and not every Capricorn is uptight. I mean, I went from being an Aquarius to being a Capricorn, and Morgana, I was so bummed. I was so.
Are we waiting for Carol to let her hair down still?
Yeah. I mean, could I be any more uptight like that? I was like, that is not possible, right? That just can't be that I'm a Capricorn. But then I read about it and it said, you know, you're a late bloomer. You're very worried about security. You're so focused on work, 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 work. You put a lot of pressure on yourself to excel. You dot every I and cross every T. I was like, oh, my God, that's so me. But I also really related to being an Aquarius. And that's why I say there's kind of a magic to astrology, because truthfully, a lot of people relate to both their charts. And so the question I get all the time is, what do I do when I'm reading Vogue and there's the horoscope? What sign do I read? And so here's what I always tell people. I always say, all the signs are in your chart. Read all 12 signs. Pick the one with the best news, and that's your horoscope.
I think that's a genius. I haven't heard that expressed like that before. I love it.
Well, I'm a big fan of really choosing carefully your self-fulfilling prophecy.
Nice.
So when I got the bad news from the astrologers and numerologists and what have you, I was like, what a shame that they are so incredibly untalented. And then I met you and I was like, now that chick knows what she's talking about. And I
Well, and I will tell you, people who have the charts of monks actually want to be monks. There are people who have what are called sannyas charts, which is like an ascetic, right? They're so beyond the third dimensional reality. They really are married to God. Like, they really are so focused on divinity, and they want that life. Whenever people really want relationships, it's because it's part of what they're here to do. And so to tell someone, no, sorry, you're doomed and cursed and you're going to die alone, I get really frustrated by those astrologers, because I will tell you, in 29 years of reading charts, I have almost never seen a chart that's doomed to die alone. It's very rare. Most people can learn and grow and develop themselves. Most of us have charts that say, hey, go get some help, go get some therapy, maybe get a coach, maybe put yourself online, maybe flirt more. You know, like Chastity has this beautiful private, you know, best kept secret in town kind of chart, where if she's waiting for it to magically happen, it's not going to happen. Like, so next year, and I wish I'd said this, she needs to really put herself out there and really make the effort. And we were lied to, especially as women. We were told that this part of life really is kismet, and it really is. And, you know, people think I'm going to say that because I traffic in fate and destiny, you know. But I really, really, I'm a Capricorn, and we roll our sleeves up, and we make things not just likely to happen, we make them inevitable. So I want people to think that way. I think, you know, don't just internet date, be on two apps and a general site and a specialized site. If you're Jewish, be on JDate. If you're Christian, be on Christian Mingles, right, or Christian Singles.
if you're really go for it like you mean it and like it matters.
Well, I think that's wonderful advice. We're down to about 30 seconds.
So, oh my God, what you said about, you know, people who want to be monks have it in their charts. I was just looking at my Jyotish calendar that I bought from you, and it said, today and tomorrow, all about beautification. Today, I wanted to clean the house. Tomorrow, I hired a beauty analyst to go through my closet. It's just like the impulses seem to land before I even check the calendar. It's so accurate. So we have to wrap up. I love you, Carol. Okay. I wanted everybody to know about you, Carol Allen. We have the link on the website to your gift. Yeah. I recommend like all of your reports because I've done it all. I've worked with you. I will work with you forever. And
we love you, Carol Allen.
We love you. I love you guys. And this is fun. What a great show. Congrats. I'm honored to be your first guest. Woo woo.
Mwah. So, Devin and I will be back next week. We are now weekly every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time. Crazy, sexy midlife love talk radio.